Begin the current Dav Masech the Shabbos Dav Samachay. We begin on the base. Begin the taste of the Master. Begins the words of the Gemara. Psula is like Kahuna that makes him invalid for Kahuna. Taste brings two different opinions regarding the invalidation of what's called Nashim Hamasulalis. As the Gemara initially assumed that, why didn't Shmuel let his daughter sleep together when there were still girls together in the same bed? It's because he thought that Nashim Hamasulalis Ubazub, two girls that rub each other in a sexual way, are invalid for a kahuna. Now, what does that mean? So Pirush Tosfos explains, that means the kahuna gedayla, that she would be invalid as a wife for a kohen gadol. Why? Because the lab besula shlema, it's a invalidation in the virginity, because of that they had rubbed themselves in the genital area, thus reducing the status of a besula. Now, as Tosfos for once, and this is what Rashi brings, although there was no kohen gadol in the days of Shmuel, so what was he concerned about? Still, he was stringent, because ultimately that shows it's something inappropriate, and therefore he didn't want his daughters sleeping with someone else. Now, that's one interpretation. The Yesh Mefarshim, now those who explain, Mishum Zayna. Actually, the problem of the women rubbing each other is some type of like a znus, some type of like a illicit relationship. And therefore, b'sulas av l'kohen het. That would make them not only invalid for the kohen gadol, but even for a regular kohen who is forbidden to marry a zayna, some type of a harlot. And mechim mashm perka aro. And says Tosfos, actually, this interpretation sounds like from the Gemara Yevamos Abayin Vamadal, because the Kama Hasim, the Gemara says over there that les hechazo, the halacha does not follow this halacha of the father Shmuel. Is like kabrov like abba. It's not like the son or like the father, meaning not like Rabbi Bar Avuna and not like his father. But the Gemara says over there that they say the halacha is not like Rav Huna regarding what he says that women that rub each other are invalid for kahuna. And become the Gemara says filler Rabbi Lazar the Amar Pahane Abal Panuya. Even according to Rabbi Lazar, who says that a single boy who has relations with a single girl. Shalei l'shem ishes, not for the purpose of marriage, asa zayna b'chulu, he makes her into a zaynam. But that's what they're saying, that's specifically regarding a man makes the woman into a zaynam, because ultimately it's an act of cohabitation. But a woman with a woman, that's just pretzis, and that wouldn't make her into a zaynam. So it says, Taisa, mashm at the time, it sounds like that the reason of the one who holds that nashim ha-mesulalis would be pasul d'kuna, and we're saying that we see not like that, but that was because Mishum Zayna, obviously because that they do consider it like Zayna, and therefore that's like the second interpretation that is brought, not simply because of not being a Besula, but even that problem of Znus with when it's a woman with the woman. Continuing next taste the Masech, this begins with the words of the Gemara, Sahadar Rabbah, a great testimony, a great witness, is the Pras, is the Euphrates River. Tries to ask some rational interpretation, he brings a different interpretation that had been the time. That is the Gemara brought from the fact that the father Shmuel made mikvahs for his daughters in the summer months. So that supports the opinion of Rav, who said, because when it rains in Eretz Yisrael, you can know this by the great testimony of the Euphrates and bubble that it expands. And that's why the father Shmuel made a separate mikvahs, some pools of water for his daughters in the summer months, because then you have all the rainwater and the melting snow from the winter, which the river is okay when it flows, but rainwater is not okay when it flows, only when it's contained, and therefore that's going to be invalid, and therefore he made a separate pool when the water is gathered together. Now, so Pirush HaKundrus, Rashi explains, what does this mean? Pras Mei, the Euphrates, is testifying, Shehu Yorid Me'eretz Yisrael Lebavel, because what happens is that the river flows from Eretz Yisrael down into Bavel, the Gadol Me'Geshamim, and so therefore the rainwater that it comes from Eretz Yisrael increases the levels of the Euphrates and bubble. So when in bubble, when they saw the water level rising, they knew that it rained in Eretz Yisrael. But so it's well, in here that does not seem to be correct. Sherry bubble, because bubble the Mizrach Eretz Yisrael koi. It's to the east of Eretz Yisrael. B'chol anaharis yoidim Mizrach l'marim, and all rivers they flow from east to west, not from west to east. So it's not possible to say that Euphrates got bigger from Eretz Yisrael if that's not the way the river flows. So Lekach Pirush Rabbeinu Tam says that the truth is, no, you're right. Really, the water flows from the Euphrates, from Bavel to Eretz Yisrael. But Shahi Makirim Shiyedog Shom Leitz Yisrael, how did they recognize in Bavel that there was a lot of rain in Eretz Yisrael, which as Rashi says, they were happy for the people in Eretz Yisrael that it rained, was Adesh Shechayzer Paras Lachayiv. You're right, the water doesn't flow that way, but it was backing up because there was so much water, it was flowing back, it was backing up. I dig the loss of Eretz because there was so much water in Eretz Yisrael, because of the rain. So therefore, that's what the father Shmuel was concerned about, because that it was going to back up into bubble, and therefore it was going to be more of the rainwater than the flowing river water. Here it says the Masal text begins with words of Gemara, Shema Yirbah Noitvim. Maybe there's been an increase of the dripping rainwater. It tries to bring two interpretations. What was the concern of the father Shmuel? There's the Gemara brought that, as we mentioned before, the father Shmuel made for his daughters a mikvahs in the summer months, and that they shouldn't table in the rivers. Why? As the Tzitzit Maslach says, because he was concerned that maybe the rainwaters would be more than the river waters. The problem is rainwaters do not purify when they're flowing, only when they're stationary. And here in the river, it's flowing, and it's going to be an invalidation because its majority is going to be rainwater. So Pirish, Tzitzit explains that his concern was that Megishamim, there's going to be an increase on the Nitfim, which means to say, literally means to say dripping, but that means to say the rainwater is going to be more Almei Nahar than the river water, which that's flowing. Now the problem is if you have more rainwater, so Vahabalu Mikva, so that's gathered water, it's not natural spring water. And Vamrina, and we know that we say the Ein Mikva Matar B'Zeichelin, that a mikva, which again is rainwater, cannot purify when it's flowing. Ki im bashbar, only if it's stationary. How do we know this? It's not. Rashi brings this too. Not only can learn Mishnah Maseches Mikvayos. It says hazoichelin, the flowing water is only if it's kama'ayin, only if it's like a spring. Noitfin, but the dripping, the rainwater is only kosher kemikva if it's like a mikva, which means gathered and stationary. As Tosafot brings, but Tanav Tez Kren, Mabraisa elaborates and says, yachem milamayim akaseifa. You would think that you could draw water on your shoulder. It's called mayim shuvim. Vasoy mikva betchila, and you can make a mikvah initially, and then you hate tar, it would purify. That's what the Pasuk teaches. No, it says ma'ayin, a spring. Which ma'ayin, b'deish ma'am, just like the water of the spring is by an act of heaven through nature. As mikvah b'deish ma'am, so too the mikvah also has to be through heaven. It can't be that you drew it. That's called the invalidation of ma'ayim shuv. Now, then the continuation, then the comparison continues. Now, ima ma'ayin, then you would think, say, okay, if we compare the mikveh to the spring, so just like the spring metah b'zeichlin, it purifies when it's flowing off mikveh metah b'zeichlin, so to the mikveh, which is the rainwater, also purifies when it's flowing, pirish, af b'zeichlin, meaning the havamina would be that even also when it's flowing, but for koshke b'ashbarin, I'm sure when it's stationary, when it's gathered, that's what Talmud Lema, that the Pasuk teaches, no, it says ach ma'ayin, that's exclusionary terminology. Only a spring, meaning a ma'ayin metab zeichlin, only the spring purifies when it's flowing, but a mikvah bashburin. But the mikvah, the gathered, is only when it's stationary. Ma'ashburin, what does this burin mean? It means the kav of a kaim, the word mikvah means that it's gathered, meaning to say it's stationary in one place, it's gathered together, it's not flowing outward. Now, that's one interpretation, what it was concerned for, because the rainwater, again, is going to be invalid when it's flowing, and if it's the majority over here in the river, you're essentially going in rainwater, and it's flowing, which again, rainwater is not valid as a purification when it's flowing. But the Yeshmefashim, those explain differently. They say, Shlohoye Reitza Latvilen Ben, he did not want his daughters to immerse themselves in the river waters in the summer months, in the days of Nisan. Mishum Nahavalu Safik Zavis. His daughters, as many Nidas are, because we don't know the calendar so well, are not necessarily what we call Nida. She might be a Zava, and we actually treat all our Nidas like possible Zavas. Now, Vizav Vizava to Unamayim Chayim. A Zav and a Zava, which are certain type of discharges by the woman and the man, but they require a purification of live waters, which are natural spring waters. Now, the problem with that was, Vashem Yibra Naitvim, so his concern was that maybe there's going to be an increase of the rainwater, Bahavalu Mechonasim, and then that's going to be gathered waters. In other words, it's going to be like gathered waters in the mikvah, which are not live spring waters flowing from the ground, and that's not kosher for the immersion of a Zav and a Zava. So, therefore, it's possible to say, according to this interpretation, that maybe there were places that they were still the waters, but that still wouldn't help. Because the problem wasn't the fact it was flowing. The problem was that it's rainwater, which is not live spring water. And therefore, that's why he said, forget about it. We can't do this here in the river because of all the rain that happened. Which Tosafot says, wait a second. There's a Valenia here. That doesn't seem to be correct. Because then Chada, first of all, the Maitama of the Mikvayos. And what he gained by making them Mikvayos, which are pools of gathered water. But Vabina Marin Chaim, you're saying that the whole reason is that you need to have live waters. And what are you gaining? So rainwater is not, but neither is a mikvah. Right. Moreover, the Tosefta Perikim of the Zam Kamer, then the Tosefta, it says, Chayim B'Zav M'Zav. It says the stringency, although Zav and Zav have similar lochas, which the male and the female counterparts of this discharge from the genital area, but there's a stringency by the male than the female. Shazav Toin Maim Chayim. A Zav, he needs live waters. So the Ena Toin Maim Chayim, they don't need. So what are you saying that he didn't let them table in the river? Because maybe it's not, you're going to have the rainwater, which is not Maim Chayim. What does that mean? The Zava, even if they're Sabak Zava, the Zava doesn't need Mayim Chai. So therefore, Taisus doesn't like the second interpretation. Now, Vimtaima, but then Taisus asks to take a second look, and he says, wait a second. Well, the Shmuel, according to Shmuel, Dhamma, that he says, Eina Mayim Matar Mezaychlin, he says, the waters of the rivers, the waters don't purify when the waters are flowing, which are the rivers. Ela Paris B'yemi Tishri, only the Euphrates in the winter months, meaning after the summer, starting the winter, where there for sure you don't have so much rainwater over the summer months. But in all the other days of the year, it's not possible to immerse yourself in the river because then you might have more rainwater than the flowing water. And again, the rainwater is only purification when it's still waters. So then Taisa wonders, then Zav, the boy Mayim Chaim, who, okay, that everyone agrees, as we've seen Tesefta, that as we just mentioned, the Zav needs live spring waters, and it does not help him to immerse himself in the mikvah. So then, how is in the summer months, how is he ever going to table himself? But you tell me, all the rivers are always concerned that there's more rainwater that you had from the flow of the whole winter. It's only in the days of Tishrei. So what do you do in the days of Nisan? The Shlomit says, no, there is an option. By a covered spring, where there's no rainwater coming in there. You're right. Any open body of water, we're concerned for that. But when it's covered, that's where Azab can immerse himself, according to this statement of Shmuel. Now, Vimtaima, if you're going to say, why are we concerned that maybe there's an increase of the rainwaters? Because, like we said, it was raining and you have this problem, whichever the interpretation it is, but you have all this rainwater. Let's say, like the first interpretation of Taisus, where it's flowing and it's not gathered. But why don't you say, lema kama kama batal? Say, yes, rainwater is a problem. But each drop that comes in becomes nullified to the rain, to the ma'ayin, to the spring, which could be flowing. And although the rainwater cannot be, but you say it's butl, it's nullified in the majority of the river. It says, someone's pouring the wine of a libation of a non-Jew, which that wine is forbidden. Someone pours into labar to a pit of kosher wine, a filikolium kula, even if he's pouring the whole entire day. The halacha is, and although the yain eser is forbidden, the kosher, the wine's going to be kosher. Why? Because I mean, we say, kama kama batal. Every single drop that was dropping in, although you end up having so much yain eser, it's not a problem because all the wine, every drop that comes in becomes batal. Now you don't see it there anymore. So why don't you say it's going to go over here by the rain? Although the rain is a problem, but every drop that comes in becomes batal, and therefore it's like one big ma'ayin. So what you could say is, no, delay mahani taima, the kama kama batal. It doesn't help this reasoning of every single drop when it comes nullified. Why? Kimicha is a rabba mikashir, since the prohibited element, which is the rainwater, ends up being more than the measurement, and therefore there's too much rainwater. Because it says, Vahidi Yain Nesach, actually that Gemara over there in the Mizar, regarding the Yain Nesach, the Kama 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 Bottle, we say every single drop that comes in is nullified. Haina Kaidin Shirabha Isr. That's only when you end up having a majority of what's the prohibited Yain Nesach, Ad Kedain Nesin is Tam Behata, only until it gives a taste in the permitted wine. In other words, and when it's only permitted until if you have more yain eser than the kosher wine, then you're right. So Taisa, of course, it's going to be chayzim in there, and actually will become prohibited. And therefore, here we have more rainwater than the spring water. We don't say that bottle, and although initially we do say kamikam bottle, but then when you get to that amount, it will be considered awesome. So Taisa, in the first interpretation, said that the concern of the father Shmuel was with the rainwater increasing on the river water that's flowing. Problem is, if it's all going to be flowing, the rainwater is not kosher, and that's going to be majority when it's flowing, only when it's still waters. Or according to the second interpretation, which Taisa had difficulties with, is that his daughters were maybe Zavis, and the Zav and the Zav need Mayim Chaim, and therefore that was the concern of the rainwater, which it's more than the river water, and if it's going to come out the majority, is not Mayim Chaim, is not live spring water. The master begins the words of the Gemara. The Amish Shmuel, that Shmuel says, Nahara, that a river, mikipe mizbarach, which Tais comes to explain the statement of Shmuel, we said the father Shmuel that says that he was concerned for the rainwater being more than the river, and therefore you can't tie these up in the river, disagrees with Shmuel. Because Shmuel says, no, the increase of the river is mikipe. What does that mean? Pirish means mimkleme, from its source, or misaloi, and from its rock, where that's the bedrock where the river comes out from, which sela, that's metargum kipe, that's the targum, the Aramaic interpretation, is kipe, which is minneviyasim isbarch. The river gets blessed from its source, from the spring, but let me make sure enough in the rainwater is never, according to Shmuel, you don't have this concern, you're always allowed a table in the rivers. But that's, in time it has to take a second look. If you're going to say, what do you mean? Well, kachazim, we see with our own eyes. We see when it rains, it does increase the level of the waters. How can you say it's coming from the bedrock? So what you can say is, there's no a handbreadth of water that comes down from heaven with the rain. They have double that, two tvachim, that comes up from the source. So yeah, when it rains, but more is coming down from the bottom, and therefore whenever you're concerned for an increase of the rain over the flow of the river, because you're always going to have more river water than rainwater. Now, by my friend Tommy says, Shmuel, which is that, yeah, we're not concerned for the rainwater. He brings a proof from the last parak of the base, where the Tanya Lindner, Reiser, Mayorim, he says, like Parash Shemai. He says, really, the Euphrates is not really called Paras. El Yuval Shemai, its real name is Yuval. Paras. Why is it called a Paras? It's the name of Parin Vadavin. It's from the word of Para. It's because it's waters that they proliferate and they increase, meaning by itself, without the rain. And Velav Davka Nokat Paras, and it's not specifically only Paras. But Adin L'chal Naras, truth is, all rivers increase on their own. Adin Nokat Paras, so why did they pick specifically the Euphrates to call it Paras? Meshim Shulgan L'chal Naras, because it's the greatest of all the rivers, and also Lefish Meretzal, and because of Meretzal. And the Kama Hasim, the Gemara says over there that this teaching of Remeir, Misayei L'Shmuel, supports this teaching of Shmuel, not only that he says, Nahar Mekibim Mizbach, that the river gets blessed from its source. And therefore it says, Taisis, V'alzeu Nosayimichim, and this we rely, Litvah B'Naharis, that we go and we do Tvila. In the rivers, Afilim God the Mighty, even though we see that it rained so much and they increased so much, it's because we say that as much as coming from Shemayim, from the rainwater, double that is coming from the river itself, and therefore you're not going to have the concern about the majority of Rabu Naitfim, Al ha ma'ayin, and therefore one could tivel in the river at all times. Next says the master begins the words of the Gemara, Hakiteya yitz bekav shalay. The kiteya, the amputee, could go out with his kav. Which tells you three interpretations and what this means and what's the machlekes of Meir and Rabbi Yisi in the Mishnah. Pirshar Kunches Rashi explains kiteya is shenikta ragla, is that his leg was cut off, he's an amputee, which isa kemin defus ragla. So what's this kav? They make like an image, a form of a leg, and they carve out a little bit in that piece of wood. The end of his stump of his thigh into that fake foot. And the girsa here is not the ina, but and he leans on that. And therefore, Remeir held that you can go out with that kav on Shabbos because the middle of the dehu, it's his shoe. A regular person wearing his shoe is not considered a masli. So too, this kav is the shoe of this amputee. But Rabbi Yisi says it's forbidden. Says because first of all, the lav takshatu, it's not considered an ornament. And the enamil, he holds it's not a shoe. It's not a shoe of a masli, and it's a load, and therefore it's forbidden to go out with that into Rosh Hashanah on Shabbos. Problem Taisa has with Rashi's interpretation that he said according to Rabbi Yisi, that it's a maslim, but the Hikshar Bainatam asks, the Bemsecht is Yuma, Mashma, and Yuma Daf Ein Ches, Amad Beis, it sounds like, that actually, no, not like Rashi's saying, the Lekul Amad Minhu, that everyone agrees that it is a shoe, and the Asa Lindel Babi Yom Kippurim, and therefore you're not allowed to wear it on Yom Kippurim, according to everyone, because it is a shoe. Well, in Yid Shabbos, Bahahu De Pligi, it sounds like from there, no. So what's the Machlekes is over here in our sugya regarding Shabbos? Is for a different reason, not because it's not a shoe. Is Rabbi Yisi Gaz, Rabbi Yisi makes a decree, Dilma Mifsik, Vasa Tuyi, since it's not a regular shoe that you tie onto to a person's foot. Rather, it's just like on his stump. Maybe it's going to become disconnected, and it's going to fall down, and it's going to come to carry a Dalai Amas and Shas Rab. Remeir, like Gaz, Remeir does not make the Gzer. But one thing you see, not like Rashi, that according to everyone, it's not a Masli, and that everyone agrees that it is a shoe. So Yeshua says, what you can say is, that you're right, that this is what the dispute is between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yisi. The time of Rabbi Yisi, the reason of Rabbi Yisi, meaning as we see it within the Gemara and Yuma, is the Kibindullah Habashal Arm, since this shoe, quote unquote, this cob, this stump, this piece of wood is not made out of leather. So lemahadik, so therefore it, you can't really make it so tight. A piece of wood, you can't really tighten so well to his shaykh, to his thigh. Therefore, yeah, that's what Rabbi Yisrael was concerned for. Maybe you have to be concerned. It's going to fall down, get detached, and it's going to come to carry it. Not like Rashi. Now, ach kasha. But Taisus finds it difficult. This the Gemara tells later on the next daf that chalitza b'sandal v'chulu. The woman does chalitza to her brother-in-law when her husband died without any children, and she does it with a sandal made out of wood. So, etc. Chalitzasik shei, we say the chalitza is going to be kasha. Rama Shmuel explains that this halacha that says that the chalitza is going to be kasher is Remeir, it's going to be Remeir. That, this is what we're discussing, the Remeir from our Mishnah. They say it's permitted for this amputee to go out with his kav, his fake foot, on Shabbos, because it's quote-unquote his shoe. So even though it's wood, so it's permitted. So you see the Remeir holds that a shoe made out of wood is considered a shoe, and the same would be a sandal of wood. Says Taisa Mashman, it sounds like the Rabbi Yasi, according to Rabbi Yasi, that Chalitza Simsula, it would be invalid Chalitza, but Bamai, based on what Taisa just said, Kivin the Minilhu, he says, Rabbi Yasi agrees it's a shoe. On Shabbos only because it might come to fall and it might come to carry it. But so why is that invalid Chalitza? Why is it specifically according to Rabbi Meir? So Taisa Vashem, what you could say is, the Hainami Bahatalia. Really, it's also dependent on this too. In other words, as Taisa explains, the Kivin Dilin in Shabbos Gaza, Dilma Misik, since Rabbi Yasi says on Shabbos, you know, I'll go out with this, come, because it might come disconnected. So essentially, this kav is qualified as what's called in the role of halach. It's not really fit to walk with it. As you see, like it might fall off, and that's why you can't walk with it on Shabbos. So essentially, v'dami l'kot n'jachalz v'minil gadol. You could really compare this to the halacha of when a child has chalitza done on him with the shoe of an adult. With halacha is chalitza sepsula. That's an invalid chalitza. These are perk mitzvah chalitza. The Gemara says yavam miskav gimel beis. Why is that invalid? The pasuk says she has to take off his shoe. What does it mean, his shoe? So it doesn't have to actually be his shoe, but nali herole has to be a shoe that's fit for him. And a child is not fit for him, the shoe of an adult. And that's the same thing over here by the kav. Since, yes, Rabbi Yisi says that you can, that on Shabbat you can't use it because it might fall off, so you see it's not really a good shoe. That's the same reason actually why chalitza is possible in that case too, according to Rabbi Yisi. And therefore it would only be about chalitza, as Shmuel says, according to Rabbi Meir. Now Taisa asks, on this that we said, according to Abiyas, that we're concerned that it might come to fall, and you might come to carry it, says Taisa, if you're going to say, Heichi gazri dilma nafa v'asalatuya, how are we making this gazer that it might fall, and you might come to carry it, technically, that doesn't make sense. He only has one foot, like we said, he's an amputee. V'inafa, if it's going to fall, lo yazaz mimkaima, he's not going to move from his place, so how is he actually going to come to carry it? Can't hop. He can't get by. So if it fell off, he's not walking. So what does it mean he's carrying with it? So Bemaridiri says the Mayri should nice to be other mark. The case is talking about where this amputee is holding in his hand a stick. So he has one foot, and on the other hand, he holds a stick. So his primary walking is with the stick. So the truth is, even without that kav, he really could lean on the stick and walk like people walk with crutches. He could walk with that stick. And therefore, that's the concern. If it's going to come detached now, he could walk. And we're concerned that he might come to carry it and carry Dalamas and Shazam, therefore, according to Rabbi Yisi, that's why it's forbidden. Now, it says Taisis, and Mikan, from here we see that the way we're interpreting that both according to Rabbi and Rabbi Yisi, as we see in the Gemara in Yuma, that they hold that really this kav is really halachically like a shoe. Again, we said according to Rabbi Yisi, it's only forbidden because it might come disconnected. And he says that he's leaning primarily on the stick, as we have to explain, like we said, because or else how's he going to come to carry it? And therefore we're considering that come to carry it that way. So from that yesh lahatr, so from this dik we could come to say it's permitted. Lemisha kav to gidei sheikav, some of that shriveled up the stump of his thigh, the tendons, in other words, and he can't walk without support. That it would be permitted lelechas b'makle b'shabbos, that he could walk with a stick on Shabbos in Rosh Hashanah. Because since he can't walk without that, that's exactly what we're saying, that everyone agrees you could walk with a stick. Question was, could you walk also with this fake foot? Then it might fall. But we saw inherent, Rabbi Yisi obviously saying a case that he's walking with a stick. Obviously, you see that if someone needs a walking stick, he's allowed to go with that on Shabbos, Irish Rab. Now, however, Taisa brings, Barav Piris Pirish, he gives a different interpretation of what this kav is. He says, Dikiteya, this amputee, Yeshli Smach, he has supports, Shekushu Bukari, that he ties onto his knees, meaning the place of where he had his leg cut off. Umagi l'aretz, and this support goes all the way down to the ground. Vashayik kafufa lacharal, and his thigh part, the leg, is bent backwards, meaning the part underneath the knee is bent backwards. Uberesha shayik, and at the end of the shayik, the makam aregel where the foot is usually lace leg kav. So they make for him a kav, this piece that we're saying. What's the point of it? If you're saying that you're not really leaning on it according to the interpretation of Rav Pyrrhus, it's laharis kamashias leregel. It's just to make like a fake foot that it should look like he has a foot. But he's not really leaning on this kav. Like we said, he's actually going on his knees. And the shaykh with the kav is bent behind him. So it's the knees, and the shaykh is the part between the knees and the ankle. That's just hanging backwards. So that's just a fake foot for appearance looking. So what's the machalikas? This is the machlokes. Since, as we said, you're not really leaning on this kav, just hanging behind in the ear. So that just might fall off because you're not even using it as a shoe. Meir is not concerned for that. And Olafiza says, according to this, now, based on that interpretation, you don't have any proof that it's permitted for an amputee to go out with his walking stick. Because according to the interpretation of Pyrrhus, there's nothing to do that he's leaning on a stick, and if his calf falls off, he could lean on that. Because nothing to do with that. He's actually supporting himself on his knees, and therefore has nothing to do with any sticks. But in spite of that, Tosafot says, even according to Rav Pyrrhus, it still would seem that it's permitted from the end of our Mishnah. And Mishnah continues on to another type of amputee, which is he has a chair and some supports that we said he cannot go with that on Shabbos, which that's an amputee which he's worse off, that it totally shriveled up the tendons on his shaykh, that he can't even go on his knees. So what they do is they make a small type of a chair and he sits on, and when he goes, he leans on his hands on these small benches. And he just lifts up his body with his upper body muscles, and he pushes himself forward, and then he rests back on the chair that's attached him from behind, and he has these supports which are made out of leather or wood, whatever it is, but it's he leans his hands on them, and that's how he supports himself. Where we learned in the Mishnah that the Eino Eiser Elis Meicher Shaloi, so the only thing that's forbidden for him to go with in Rosh Hashanah are his supports. The reason for that is Lefisha Shekiv. Tluin ba'aver is because his shaykh is hanging in the air, and the dim enough of us to him, we're concerned that it might fall, it might come to care, because as he jumps in the air, it might fall off. But the so to speak benches, those slabs that are in his hands, that ain't the oyster. That's not forbidden. Now, says Taisa ve'inu habedumi demako. Those supports are essentially the equivalent of what a stick is, which you're using with your hands to support you. So obviously, you see, it's permitted for an amputee to go out with his walking stick on Shabbos. However, this interpretation of Rav Pyrrhus places with Ksas Kasha, but Lafizeh, it's a little bit difficult according to the interpretation of Rav Pyrrhus, that you're not really leaning on this kav at all. Like you said, it's just like a fake foot for appearance, but you're not really leaning on that. So then, Amay Matami LeRav Mishamedra. So why does Rav say in the Gemara later on that this kav is going to have a Toma of Medras, which is when a Zav or Zavas like puts their body weight on it, but Kimachain in this Maglov, but you're telling me that the Kaaba is not even leaned on, it's just hanging there in the back. So it says Vishema maybe because you Yeshiv when he sits down, Pa'amam Hunis Maglov. Sometimes maybe he does lean on it. Well, Kach Isla based Kibbuxis, and that would also explain why we said that he sometimes makes a receptacle in the Kaav for some types of rags, Shla Yuzik Bakashra Eitz Kashu Yeshiv, that he shouldn't get harmed with the knot of the wood when he's sitting down in it, because sometimes he does sit on it and he does recline on it, and since sometimes he does lean on it, so therefore Rava says it would qualify for the tuma of medrash. So Tosafot first brought the interpretation of Rashi that the kav is like an image of a leg, which it's like a prosthetic, which he puts his stump at the end of his shaykh and he leans on it. Maybe he says you're allowed to go out with this like a shoe. This is forbidden because it's like a masa. But Tosafot disagreed and said, no, I'm agrees with a shoe. And the Ri explains that it's talking about where he has a walking stick. So the primary walking is really with the stick. Rabbi Yisi is concerned it might come to fall, and yeah, you might be able to walk because you have the stick, and you might come to carry it down, and Rabbi Yisi is not concerned for that. But according to that one, it's considered as a minnow. Now, since everyone considers it a minnow, a shoe, so he says, obvious that it's permitted for the amputee to go out with a stick when he can't go out without that, and that's qualified as his shoe, which we said you could have these alternative shoes that are permitted, and it's not a problem. But according to Rav Pyrrhus, he gives a different interpretation for the calf. He says that really, he ties by the knees, where his leg got cut off, something that goes all the way to the ground. And actually the sheikh, which is beneath the knee, is bent behind him. As some people have, you see those people have these wagons that they go with, and the what's behind the knee is just hanging behind. The top, by where the ankle is, by the bottom of the foot, where the foot would be, that's where they make a kav, again, not to lean on it, just to like give the appearance of like a foot. But he's not really leaning on it. He's really going on his knees. So what's Machlokes Rav Meir and Rav Yosi? Do we say that since he's not leaning on it, it's just hanging in the ear, that the kav might just fall off, and they might come to carry it? That's Machlokes Rav Meir and Rav Yosi. Now, which I said, according to his interpretation, there's no proof that it could take or go out with a stick and just rob him. But ultimately, Taisa says, there is a proof from the Sefer of the Masnitin. We see clearly that it's similar to the Safsalim, which we say that you're allowed to go out with, Imrish HaZerah, Man Shabbos, for a Kiteya.